Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are back yet again for an episode of the Jay and Rob Toy Show. No grand entrance this time, no long-winded monologue by yours truly. Nothing to delay the start of the show, nothing to keep us from getting to the goodness. Allow me to introduce my good friend, the Conway to my Twitty, Jay Bum 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 Bartlett Bum 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 Bum.
Oh, look at the backdrop. You got fat head and skinny heads on some. What are they up to and what do they want from it?
And gone. What's up, brother?
What's going on? It's my favorite week of the year. This is under normal circumstances, St. Patty's Day is one of my favorite holidays. And we always get that little tease of warm weather, which we desperately need. And it wouldn't be, you know, the Jay and Rob Toy Show without me talking about weather to start off. So yeah, I'm looking forward to tomorrow being a beautiful St. Patty's Day, having some nice beer in the afternoon, having some nice sun, and then immediately the next day have it freezing again.
Yeah. It's there are certain weather dependent things in Ontario where we live that we can count on without question. Sunny St. Patty's Day, well, the amateur drinkers line up for 2 hours to have to drink overpriced colored beer in a pub on a street instead of just enjoying it whenever they want.
Yeah,
like heaven forbid you decide to have a beer today or are on the Friday.
Ahead no, of gotta have it on the 17th.
Gotta have it. Gotta have be. To. Gotta be true. Gotta do it. Those are the rules. Gotta do it. We also have May 2/4. Which is always rainy and always cold in May to celebrate.
There's always grand plans for May 2/4, which is the, I guess, Queen Victoria's birthday or something like that in Canada. I don't know
if it's her birthday or her inauguration.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just an excuse for us to drink some beers and get pie-eyed. That's a lyric from my first band, On the Carpet. So how do you like that one? We actually have a song about May 2/4.
I like the deep cut. Yeah. I like the deep cut action a lot. How have you been, though, since last? We've talked a little bit since last show, but how have you been overall in the past week, my friend?
Good. As far as life's great. Life is, I couldn't ask for anything more. As far as collecting goes, I got some interesting stuff I want to touch on.
I like
that
it.
That has to do with our pickups for the week.
I like
so
it.
You direct me whenever you want to, but yeah, I've discovered some really, really bizarre stuff happening.
Cool. Well, I want to say hi to everybody who's joined us in the chat. So once again, we're flattered with your presence before we've gone live. So big shout out scrolling to the top for Upstate Johnny, Cactus Jamie, Severus Snapes, Ryan B, Country Boy 9 John, Lisa, of course, Hexalibur, Kale, and Retro Universe Toys and Collectibles, who said it's 316 day. Everybody's talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin on 316. Just set the record straight.
Gotta.
It's 0-1-316. That's the 316 that matters. Do you remember 0-1-316 and what happened?
You know what? Even if I said I do, you're going to say it anyways. Go ahead. I don't.
Thanks for being a good showman and giving me the podium.
What was this? While we were into like super into
maybe a smidge before it really blew up for us, but I was definitely watching this and then sure.
But when we were into it, I think Owen was gone by then. I don't remember.
No, he was still around.
Was he okay?
And like, because that's when he started reinventing with the Blue Blazer again a little bit later, and then the games came out and whatnot. 0-1-316 says, I just broke your neck, because Stone Cold was starting to rise and make his way up the WWF ladder and was going for Intercontinental Champion. Owen was with the Nation of Domination and he pile drive Stone Cold and he actually broke his neck by mistake.
In real life,
he broke his neck, but they used it as a story point because, you know, Stone Cold.
Well, because you know Vince, why let a tragedy get in the way of a good story? Oh, we could use this for your storyline, Owen. You've just become bigger.
Yeah, exactly. So I always thought that was cool, the way that they wove that in there. And you know, one of the greatest legacy parts of the Black Heart, the greatest of all hearts, the King of Hearts, if you ask me. So we can jump in anywhere. We have a bit of a potpourri, a grab bag again. We still have questions left over. People have been sending me a few questions and topics to get to this week. The theme is surprises, toy surprises, and it sounds like you've got some surprising observations you want to share with us. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you, my friend. I want to hear what some of these surprising observations are.
You know, anyone who follows me on social media, and I love how Nathan says, look at my Starscream, I'm the high bidder. I'm rooting for you, pal. Come on, you lost Soundwave. I'm rooting for you to get this Starscream. I want you to have it.
I'll tell you, he's been in on every single item, and you lost the Windrider by a nose hair.
Oh, dang. Dang, Nabbit, yeah. I didn't recognize the person who won. I didn't recognize the name who won the Windrider, but yeah. We were super into wrestling. This is before I'm going to get to my thing. I feel like it's appropriate that we talk about Scott Hall a little bit since we were into wrestling. And around that time, what brought me back, obviously, was the THQ video games. But besides that, it was the fantastic storyline with the NWO and how Ted Turner and the WCW was just stomping on the WWF. And Scott Hall. I didn't watch him much as Razor Ramon. The character's iconic, of course. But I think you and I identified with him when it was him and Kevin Nash, and they were just Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, right? But it's tragic. It's tough to see, you know, a guy that you grew up with, literally. He had a pretty rough go, you know, the last few years. So it's pretty rough to see that. So I just wanted to give a shout out to, you know, to Scott Hall and say, you know, thank you for entertaining us and thank you for being one of the greats villains, even though you were a good guy at heart.
Yeah, clearly one of the most iconic performances, villainous performances to color our past and our sense of storytelling. And I definitely probably knew him a little bit more. I was Razor Ramon because I didn't watch WCW all that much until they really went at it with Monday Night Nitro and Raw when D-Generation X was plaguing them and how that went back and forth, which was great. But I love the emergence. And it was really, like you said, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash that came over when I think they were still under contract, waiting to basically for their deadline, for their fire date to happen. Because he's like, you know who I am. I can't say my name, but you know who I am.
Yeah.
You know why I'm here.
I remember.
And that's how it all started. We're the outsiders.
Yeah. Remember how the NWO, remember, I just have vivid memories of that wrestling ring and the thing being entirely filled, like it was a battle royal with all black and white NWO shirts. That gang was so big. There was so many people in NWO. That was a high point, and the LWO spun off of that. And then remember, there's the, oh man, it's coming to me now. The red NWO, is that the Wolf?
Yeah, the Wolf Pack.
The Wolf Pack. But
Jay,
yeah.
Do you remember the OWN?
No.
The One Warrior Nation? No. Is NWO backwards?
No.
Well, that's when the Warrior came back. And
I think we were out by then. I don't remember. At least I was. Yeah, there was a specific time when we stopped watching wrestling, at least when I did. But yeah, he's definitely going to be missed. And it's that time, you know, we got to say goodbye to heroes of ours. And yeah, that's all I got to say about that. Now, my topic really ties in with what I have to show for the week. So I don't know if you want to save that closer to the end, because then I won't have anything to show at the end.
We can push that topic down a little bit. Let's talk about the auction. What items sold this week, Jay, and what is now up for grabs? Hint, it's over your shoulder for everybody watching and joining us on the live stream.
You
can join us every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What sold this week? If you remember what it went for, let us know. But what is up for grabs as well?
So we sold the sealed 1982, like old school, sorry, 1981 Masters Universe Windrider, completely factory sealed. And again, I say it every single time we sell one of these items, it's going to be hard for me to pack that one up and ship it off. Now, the spare bedroom in my house is what has housed all these things. I've kept them. I was kind of toying with the idea of bringing them into the studio so I could kind of enjoy them you know, for half a year or whatever it was, but I decided not to. And everything's been packed away, which is good because it makes it a little bit easier to pack it up. It's, you know, a perfect piece. Anyone who knows the old Master stuff, there's no window with the Wind Raider. It's just a box, but that box on display is really enough because that artwork is incredible. Yeah, and awesome. Quite a bidding war. And she took off and she's flying out tomorrow or the day after. So,
and it is a Canadian, meaning for most people, a foreign variant for Masters of the Universe collectors out there, as it has English and French on the packaging. A lot of hardcore collectors of the Masters world really turned their attention to regional releases. So you get a sealed one is a pretty good deal. But that's the past, my friend. That is coming gone. Yesterday's news, well, this morning's news. And now a new item is up for grabs. A legendary, iconic piece. Tell us about
what is up for grabs. The fourth Transformer we've had, and pretty much we've nailed the four. I mean, that's across our opinion.
Across all two seasons.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like the four big baddies or the big guys we've had. It's just Starscream, of course, in the box. He's great. He's not as complete as Soundwave. So, I mean, I have threw that in the description. However, the figure itself is absolutely, you could eat off it. It's pristine. It doesn't have the sticker sheet. I mean, that Soundwave that John got is just amazing. But this one, he even has the gold sticker eyes, which is quite rare in 2022 because that was one of the first stickers that came off. If, in fact, your mom and dad ever put them on, because I remember my three jets never had them because I think they just got thrown away. Yeah, they're so small. They didn't even know that he had glowing eyes. He's great. And this one hits home. I'm a huge fan of Chris Latta, Cobra Commander, and Starscream. So this will be a tough one to pack up. But there he is, ladies and gentlemen. You can go right now on our link on the Facebook page. My eBay handle is Quarterman75. But you can easily find it on the Action Figure Adventure page. The link is up right now. You can bid. And I just started today, so it's quite a bit of time. But
and bids already are on this, which is great. Yeah. As soon as it went up, I think there was a bid within 10 minutes.
There was, yeah, which is exciting. That makes me feel better because, you know, when we're shooting, I'm always second-guessing myself, especially, you know, in the van on the way home. It's like, oh, should I have got that? Should I have got that? But so far, I'm happy with the results of all of them. So we're going strong. Let's keep that ball rolling.
Nathan is saying, outbid me. I dare you.
Ooh.
I dare you. Now you say it's not quite complete. What's missing from it? I mean, the stickers are off the sheet and they're applied, but they're applied perfectly and still in amazing
stickers are perfect. Condition. You just don't have, the transformation instruction booklet. You don't have the fold out poster with the checklist. I mean, that's all cake, right? The interesting thing that we discovered this morning was that he has two left hands, which I'm looking to correct before the auction is over. Hopefully, I will try my best. But you guys got to understand that when we go into a store, time is limited. And we saw this, I don't want to say, but when we saw this, it was more than exciting. And we were just like, it slipped by us. So,
and I'm curious if it's a factory error. That part of that, because again, the scenario in which we discovered this and the history that we learned about the piece, it's really strange that it would have been anything else other than, you know, a factory error with a two left fists in there. So
the good thing about the original three jets and even the two that followed is that you can't tell.
Yeah.
So it's a great showpiece. Starscream is, I think, the greatest Decepticon. That's just my opinion. So guys, get there now. This is your chance. And look at the box art. The box art for Starscream.
Classic.
It's incredible. So
it's a classic.
Do it now.
Let's talk about some other stuff we got going on. Of course, I want to give a big shout out to our sponsors, Big Bad Toy Store, Heroes Cards and Comics, London, Ontario, Mockmasters, and Retro Rags, all amazing vendors, all of which support us on multiple levels across all the different things we do. Check them all out. Big Bad Toy Store, they just got in stock the new retro releases of the TMNT figures. So you know how like every 2 years they have the vintage throwbacks to the 88 Turtles? Well, now they're in stock at Big Bad Toy Store, and they have the Turtle Blimp in stock there as well for $75 US, although it is not a true re-release, as our good friend Frank from Toy Power Podcast was just reminding me that it's the glider and the fins from the 2012 edition, but the balloon from the 89 version. So it's a hybrid, but it is a blimp that's available. But some cool stuff going on, and obviously you saw some of the big Masters releases and stuff that came out.
More Masters. Yeah, I think we should talk about that. Our good friend Scott sent me the link. I wasn't aware. I saw the Hordak, but I saw Zor and Teela and a different He-Man. This isn't Origins. This is something else. I didn't catch the line.
No, there's Origins and Masterverse stuff. There is a lot. Sure. I'm going to see if I can pull it up while you talk about some initial reactions.
Yeah, so I mean, Scott and I were going back and forth, and we kind of both said we're done with Origins, and that much is true. I did have a chance this week during my travels to pick up Sorceress and the comic colored Stratos, and I passed on them. So I'm glad that I stuck to my word on that. The Origins line is great, but I just think at some point you got to call it. And for me, it's getting into Turtle territory, where a lot of the characters are just starting to get, you know, a little out there for myself. But I think it's great. I still think it's an affordable line. Good to see the Masterverse stuff is going. I would like to see a lot more Revelation figures, but we're getting there. I picked up actually, well, this is going to go to my story at the end too. But here we go. So there's that wacky cartoon stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's been two reveals so far, Heroes, and this is the Villains one that you talked about. So these are Masterverse figures. So here's the Skeletor for Masterverse, which is based on the CG cartoon aimed at kids, as everybody says, right now on Netflix. We get a Redux Beastman, we get Catra, Hordak, and Jitsu here. Here are some close-up pictures for everybody to take a look at. Hordak is probably the standout of them all, although I'm not in love with the face sculpt on it.
I don't think the cape is great.
It's cloth cape, which is something that they're doing more and more with Origins and Revelations. Yeah.
You're right. The face looks off to me. And I think, Rob, I think you have the greatest one, which is the Club Grayskull Blue Hordak. He's the greatest Hordak figure that there is out there. And that one just doesn't even measure up to it. I appreciate that it's different. Don't get me wrong. I like it's different. So it gives you a reason, if you're a big Hordak fan, to grab another.
Yeah.
But, again, probably different if I see it in person. There is old Obi-Wan. What's he doing? But I don't know. I mean, I'm starting to feel a little burnt out on He-Man stuff. I think we're getting into burnout territory. I don't know if you feel the same, but I certainly, it's a lot coming at you and a lot of different things. And it's just like, okay, I need to pull back a bit.
I have felt the same for a while, my friend. Yeah. But you know, it makes it easier to pick and choose. Of course, one of the big reveals is this Teela and Zor. People are complaining that Teela is the same, and all you're really getting is a new sword and the bird.
People are complaining. No. Cool.
Yeah, I know. Really strange to hear some complaints.
Zor looks the same to me, to the vintage one, and I know
the wings look a little bit like higher detail sculpt, obviously, than the rubber flap and stuff.
Big whoop.
You know, I don't know. It's for a two pack for $30. I mean, that's vehicle cost right there. Is that worth it on a price point?
I'm tired of rebuying the same stuff. So I don't know. That Sunman looks cool from Origins, but again, I mean,
and they've released a bunch more Sunman figures, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, I think it's a cool gimmick, unless, you know, they're going to bring those characters into the lore. And I mean, I appreciate they're celebrating the culture of He-Man at the time when there was a ton of knockoffs. It's cool to see a hat tip to that stuff, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
So here are some of the other reveals that they had. So 2002 Skeletor here, Mantenna for Origins, Grizzlor with the normal versus the PowerCon exclusive face, Snoutspout, Rotom, and Leech, of course. We went through those figures already, and here are the heroes that they revealed. So these three are from Sunman here, and then we have 2002 He-Man.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding, they are.
2002 He-Man. So another He-Man variant already. So that's Flying Fists, Battle Armor, regular He-Man. So this is the fourth one already. And King Randor is the other big surprise there.
So. Yeah, and who mentioned Catra in the comments there? Oh, yeah, Cindy did. Yeah, I like Catra, too. I'm a big fan of the female characters in She-Ra. And for me, and this is something that Rob says a lot, I mean, the classics line did so many of these figures so perfect that it's difficult to acquire them again. Like the Catra from Classics is just such an incredible figure. Same with Adora. Scott was saying, you know, I hope they have a She-Ra Adora 2-pack. It's like that Adora is my favorite He-Man figure. So I can't see how they're going to top that one, but I mean, it's good if you weren't around, collecting 10 years ago, classics, like I certainly wasn't. And I paid through the nose for mine. So it's good for people who don't have those figures.
Yeah. For people that missed it, for sure. People that don't want to pay, like you said, through the nose for that stuff, it's pretty good. And the people that like the more vintage style rather than something aimed more at an adult collector, it's definitely a good opportunity to fill out the collection if you need an excuse to buy something. I'm surprised that they haven't done a She-Ra Adora 2-pack in the way that they launched the line with that He-Man and Prince Adam 2-pack at San Diego Comic-Con. Why haven't they doubled up on that with a She-Ra Adora 2-pack?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm certainly looking forward to it. I just, you know, I look at all, Super 7 had it, and then Mattel got it back, and it's just a lot of He-Man coming at you at once. And again, I think if you're just a focused collector, God bless you if you are, you're a focused collector and you're like, you know, Masters of the Universe is my thing and I'm not going to go anywhere else, then I think it's okay. But when you like a lot of stuff, it's tough to keep up with. I'm kind of with Scott, where I'm with Masterverse, but I just want to do Revelations because it's new stuff to me, so that's kind of exciting.
I see, this is what I love about it. Now that nobody's really talking about it and it's not really buzzworthy, it's much more easier for me to get into it. And now we're getting King Randors and some of the later stuff, and it doesn't feel like it's the hype, you know, the monster of the week type thing that everybody's talking about. It's like, you know what, I can enjoy this and pick and choose. And because some people are getting burnt out who were in it on day one, there's going to be more of it available. A lot of the supply issues have been sorted. And now with people kind of pivoting or choosing which Masters line that they want to collect, it makes it easier for some of the other folks out there to grab the ones that they want. I don't know that I'd want any of those. The 2002 He-Man and Skeletor look good. I think they look better than I would have expected them to look if you think about it, but
the 2002 original line is so affordable and those figures are far better than those.
I don't know, I think go back and look at a 2002 figure. The articulation is not there.
I'm looking at like three or four right over there. I see
And pick them up and try to pose them in something that's interesting beyond
I can't do that because She-Ra can't stand up, first of all, and neither can Adam, so they're kind of both leaned. The only one that can stand is Orko, and that's because he has his own stand, but that's
that's what we call a problem, Jay.
I don't care.
So those are some big toy surprises for sure this week. And it was interesting because I think the week before was all the NECA reveals, and now it's all the Mattel stuff. Super 7 has floated a bunch of information in between as well. Hasbro seemingly is letting people know stuff every 2 weeks, what's going on between all, you know, 10 million of their brands. Is it a good time to be a toy collector, or is it too much? And should we go back to the desert of the lost when we're, you know, dying for scraps of toy goodness?
It's a good time. It's been a good time for a while. Just a little bit, if I can rewind to the Masters of the Universe origin stuff. In Canada here, we were on fire. I remember the Fisto and Faker wave, which I think was 5, if I'm correct. If not, someone correct me. We got that really early, and then we got the few waves before right on time as well. And then it just stopped. Like, you couldn't get anything after, and I kept seeing all our U.S. friends get the later waves, you know, the Sorceress, the flesh-colored Stratos, and all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, where is this stuff? We weren't getting it. So to be honest, that turned me off a lot from the line too, because one of the things I did like about Origins so much was it was so accessible and it was fun to collect.
Yeah.
And it's just so weird. It's just, it just stopped in Canada and you couldn't get anything. At least it's all weird. The places and I got them were just dried up.
And the waves were small. So like if you saw four, you're spending less than $100 to get them all.
Yep. It's, you know, totally affordable.
Which is cool to do every 3 months.
Exciting to see those new figures on the store shelves, the retro packaging and stuff. But it's weird. I guess, you know, I like Revelations more because I don't want to say no one really collects it, but it's much easier to get that stuff.
I keep trying to enjoy the Revelation figures. Like I was playing around with Faker and He-Man and Skeletor today. And again, basic issues that drive me nuts as a figure collector. When you try to stand them and they don't stand and it takes more than three adjustments and you have to like try it on multiple surfaces and then like stand back and count to three, or their accessories just don't fit in their hands. It's like, why am I spending $30 to $50 on this shit?
That's
when they can't even do what they're supposed to do unless they're in their plastic prisons.
That's like any, and I mean any McFarlane figure. You can't stand them up. You can't bend them. You can't do anything with them. Even when they're on their stands, and I just got the new Batman, he can't even stand up with his stand. He's so top heavy. It's hilarious. I don't have a problem with the me posing the Revelations. The one I honestly, I didn't like Skele-God and I didn't like Skeletor. The rest I think are great. Those two, yeah. Man, Skeletor is just weird looking to me. The Skele-God, although I like the character, I don't like the design. I don't like the way he looks. There's just something about Skele-God that just,
man. It's too cartoony. Even though it's a cartoon, like it feels.
And it was like the load has been blown way too soon. That was the first figure that we saw in the store. I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess this is going to happen, you know?
Yeah. Now, one line, speaking of toy surprises, one line that I have been interested in that I know that you have never expressed any love for is the robots in disguise, non-transforming Transformers, the stuff from Hasbro.
Mm.
So the almost cel-shaded, softer plastic Autobots and Decepticons that are straight out from the cartoon. It's clear. It even has like the Matrix in there. You can tell, which is cool. Windows open. So this is Prime, and that's awesome. Okay. And then Megatron, obviously, looks exactly as you would expect him to look like. Mm. They work together scale-wise. It's awesome. But then, OJ, we get to the common Transformers problem, even this day. Okay. So I'm going to hold up Prime. Right here. And then I opened another one that was just in a box on my shelf because I'm trying to open more. We get Bumblebee.
Well,
one of these things is not like the other.
I got to say, they've corrected that with War for Cybertron to a certain point. Now, I know what you're going to say. Obviously, you know, I've had my hands on Unicron and you've had your hands on him too. And he's as big as they can make him without being like, you could barely pick him up. So War for Cybertron did correct that. So for them to go back to screwing that up, that is no excuse. The original Transformers were Japanese toys that were too mixed,
mismatched together.
And that's why the scale didn't work. There's no excuse for that, especially when they do it in a continuing line right now.
Now, I will say, of these three that I've shown you, and I also have Coronation, Starscream, and Soundwave, Bumblebee is probably my favorite. It stands super easy thanks to these big feet. I think the fact that it's a little bit bigger gave him a little bit more detail on the face and whatnot, and there's some paint rubbing on it that really adds to it. But when you hold it next to the other figures, the appreciation for Bumblebee can only go down because you don't want Bumblebee the same size or beefier than Prime. That just doesn't make sense. So cool surprise. I never thought I would have liked Bumblebee as much as I did in this character or in this form for this character. But then to have the realization, surprise, Transformers still has a massive scale issue even today, which I think is probably the number one thing, you know, fans from the 80s talk about how.
Well, that line, there's no excuse that they should be exactly the scale. Because they don't even transform, so that's kind of dumb. Yeah, I'm with you there. You don't want Prime and Bumblebee the same size. That's crazy.
You got to see episode one of Action Figure Adventure season two, Jay.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity for a shameless plug on our upcoming season, which I can say the paperwork has been signed. We are delivering September to October, somewhere in there. And I believe we're back at our comfy time slot with a mid-November kind of broadcast premiere this year. But you saw episode one. We are working on a Kickstarter. Everybody in America will have a chance to be a part of it. What did you think of episode one based on expectations and then results?
I don't like talking much about myself on screen. It's always been kind of a touchy subject for me. The pacing of the show, that being said, the pacing of the show is really great. And the way Rob has crafted it, this is from my perspective, I forget instantly I'm watching me and I'm kind of just going on the journey with this guy. And before the episode was over, I remember looking at the timer. I'm like, oh man, there's only 2 minutes left. And then it ends on a cliffhanger, as good TV shows do. And I wanted to see more instantly. We just watched the one so far. So that's good. There's a lot of great personalities and there's a lot more, without giving anything away, there's a lot more tension. There's a lot more at risk, especially when you consider that we went out there during the height of the pandemic when, you know, if anyone knows me, you know, I'm terrified of that stuff, right? I'm no, so secret. And you can see that. I think you could see that. And I remember a lot of specific times, especially when we were farther out east and farther away from home. I remember Rob and I were, you know, a little pretty scared. So I think it's everything you want from a sequel. It's more exciting. The pace is a bit quicker and stakes are higher.
Well, that's a pretty glowing review. You didn't even tell me all those good words when we watched it. The one thing that I want it to feel like more than anything is the next episode. So you watch season one and I want this to immediately feel like it could be episode 11.
Yeah, and you get that. Oh, thanks, Nathan, by the way. I appreciate that, man. I wanted to keep watching it, but we didn't have time, right? It's weird because I remember a lot of it, but a lot of it you forget. A lot of the little stuff you forget. I guess this isn't too little, but without giving anything away, we get thrown, you know, a curveball right off the bat in day one, and the trip kind of goes where we didn't expect it to go. So right away, I like that. There's a huge sense of you don't really know what's going to happen next.
I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you to talk about yourself, given that you've seen the episode now. And yeah, I enjoy making you squirm. But for everybody out there that collects action figures, we all know what it's like to go in the store. And we've talked about how, you know, it's more difficult than just saying I'm going to buy action figures. Oh, it's so tough. Oh, yeah. Poor me.
Oh, yeah.
What is it like to relive that from the way that the cameras capture it and seeing it put together from all these different angles that maybe you didn't realize the camera was shooting this way or kind of covering the scene or how it gets put together in the edit? What is that like to take your recollection from being in the moment to seeing it kind of from a third party perspective?
I mean, you make it look great. It's, you see the stress in me, but it's not as obvious as I was feeling at the time, if that makes sense. Because when I'm in the moment, I'm in the store, I'm on the street doing the pre-interview or whatever we're doing, I can feel everyone watching me. And well, you know, over the last 10 years of us doing this stuff, I've gotten used to it, right? It's still, you can feel it. And there's that pressure. It's like being in front of a live audience wherever you go. And duh, I mean, that's reality TV, right? I mean, that's what it is. Yeah, some of the decisions, and there's a few decisions I make right in the very first stop. And I remember being like, oh yeah, I did that. Oh yeah. Or why didn't I do that? And
yeah, so that was my next question. Like, are you at a point yet, or was there a point in episode one where you're like yelling at TVJ, no, don't do that. You missed that thing there. This is what you should do, based on like, you're like playing the home game, right? Like you're playing along from home from your,
yeah,
from your armchair.
I think that's what the audience is going to really love with this one is playing the home game. They get to come along with me, and I'm a lot more comfortable this time around because I know what to expect. I think I was under the assumption it was going to be like Nintendo Quest, which it's not, right? The first time around, the first season. So this one, I'm a lot more at home with the formula and what's going to happen. So everyone can play along with me and yell at the screen and go, no, don't do that. Or no, don't put that down. Go pick that up again, you stupid idiot. So, yeah.
Excalibur saying, this is Jay watching the show. I have no idea where this is going. What am I doing?
Excalibur, you know what? That's funny you say that, mate, because a lot of that stuff doesn't stick in my mind. It's like an adrenaline rush when you're in these places and you have to make all these decisions and you have this time crunch. I think that's what makes reality TV so exciting, is because you see all those raw emotions, good or bad.
Yeah, and believe me, I didn't remember much of it either until I started going through the footage and piecing it together, the difference between what happened and what was captured and how to present it together to capture the emotion that we went through with the footage that we had available. So it's this weird puzzle, and you got to please a bunch of different masters in that regard too. Hey, Woodman 29, thanks for coming out and watching the show. Jacaxis Jamie says, I like seeing all the different toy stores. It's awesome. Well, that's one of the things that we love too. And this time we see a few more toy stores and we go a little bit further. So I'm hoping to book some time with you tomorrow or Friday, Jay, to watch another episode or two.
Up to you. I'm definitely down. Absolutely. I can't wait, because I wanted to keep going, because I remembered at the end, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't want to say it gets really good, but yeah, stuff happens. And
no, you can say it gets really good. It's all right. Tease everybody.
But I don't want that's not
big news, everyone. It gets really good.
The first episode is not good. It's the first episode is, you know, the beginning is your typical, where have you been? What have you been doing? What do you want to do differently?
Who are you and what have you done for me lately?
Yeah. So I remember just those interviews in the backyard. This is just kind of a little behind the scenes for everyone there. So we're doing my story interview, you know, why I'm doing this, you know, what am I going to do differently, that kind of thing. And excuse me.
Yeah, pre-adventure.
The neighbor was doing some work on their fence, building a wood fence. And so we could only shoot in between the hammering and the sawing, and it was almost comedic. And I can only imagine what a nightmare that was to edit. Because we had to do takes around the hammering. Otherwise, you know, you'd be hearing me talk and this whack, whack, whack in the background. And that's not really professional now, is it? At the same time, you know, it's my house. So I'm not going to go yell, shut up, to my neighbors that I have to live with, you know.
Well, the funny thing is, it's not like we're doing takes where you have rehearsed dialogue. It's like I ask you a question and like, well, let me think about that.
Yeah.
And then 15 seconds of silence goes by. And just as you start to talk, jumps right into dialogue.
Excalibur, it's not that I don't like to, like, I don't have that phobia where I can't watch myself or listen to myself. I did when we did Nintendo Quest, when we shot in 2013. Yeah, I didn't like that stuff. You know, we were shooting the poster and I didn't like to see the stills of me and stuff. But that's like everything you start out with, right? You're always very nervous. So now I'm fine with it. I just mean I don't like to talk about, I'm by no means a toy expert. I'm a toy enthusiast, right? So I don't profess to know everything about toys. Go ahead. Smart ass.
I love Nathan's comment here already. I yelled at Jay a lot in season one. Well, Nathan, I promise you a lot more screaming will happen in season two.
Well, I got to tell you guys, in spoiler alert, there is no shadow box idea. It has not returned. So
really? Okay. What about some real cool deep cut figures that are going to change the direction of the auction, like Orion Pax?
Well, that I can't say. We'll have to see.
Yeah. Ryan, yeah, I agree with you. I love rewatching this stuff in the footage because I always notice toys in the background. Even while I was watching stuff with Jay on episode one, I'm like, oh, Hero Zell has those figures. And I thought about calling them up. I'm like, that was like 8 months ago. There's no way some of those figures are there anymore. And like, how did we miss them? Because we always try to shop a little bit for ourselves too. Because if you're going to these stores, you gotta shop.
Yeah, that's the coolest part, is, you know, first and foremost, I'm in there for a great item for the auction that's going to get us the margin we need for children's health. But there's always that other part of your brain that's scanning. It's like, oh, there's some Joe stuff, or there's some, you know.
It's whatever. Like, I'll come back to that after I finish doing the work yeah. stuff.
It's exciting, man, and I'm not going to lie. It's really, really exciting. It has that kind of Toys R Us shopping spree feel to it when I do it. I'm not going to pretend it doesn't. It's my own money, so there's the difference. It's not just this endless yeah. pool of money where I can just say I want that and that. But it is exciting going to different stores, and I love traveling to different cities. I love road trips. So just seeing the different environments and the different shopkeepers and their stories about being open for 30 years or being open for 6 months, you know, it's really interesting.
I love this comment from Hexalibur. He says, you should make a seek and find game with every episode. Have you spotted that figure? So it could be like a visual scavenger hunt, like a card that we could include in the DVD, versus like episode one, find these like 10 figures in the background.
It could be like
every Lockie store
from Shira.
It could be a what? Sorry.
What isn't his name's Lockie, right? Or Loki.
Loki.
Loki. Yeah. It'd be like
Loki. Or Luki or whatever you want to say it.
Whatever, the little
did
rainbow.
Did you see me
guy.
This episode?
Yeah. It's like, yep, I did. You pulled me right out of the story. Thanks.
And look at Upstate Johnny slagging you off and throwing shade the shadow box. I almost tuned out after that early comment. You righted the ship wonderfully. And
that
here he
sounds
is.
To me like a guy who has a lot of really nice collectibles from season two. That's what that sounds like to me.
You know, Hexalibur, you're saying, you know, you have a really great show when people pause it just to watch stuff in the background. It actually makes me think the opposite. If they're willing to pause and look at the background, they're clearly not that invested in what's going on in the foreground, and they just want to look at all the dollies on the shelves.
Woodman, thanks. There'll be another one coming this week for sure on my YouTube channel.
I have yet to check out your new mix-up productions of Operation.
Yeah, I was thinking of something to call it because I wanted to start like episodic adventures. And that's what we used to, you know, Rob and I we loved everything so much that we didn't just want to play Star Wars. We didn't just want to play He-Man. We wanted to include everything. So we just mixed it all up into this one big universe.
It's true.
So I just came up with the name Mix-Up Productions. So that's where that is from.
Hey, when you were setting up your toy collection in your basement there, or rearranging as we do and as I've done in my room a few times, did you have any surprises? Like when you're taking stuff out of bins, when you're kind of first setting things up, or as you rearranged, did you have any discoveries like, oh, well, this is a weird thing I never realized about my figures or this subset or something along those lines? Was there any shocking moments you had because you were spending some more intense time with your toys?
Oh, there's always stuff like that. I'm really surprised at a lot of the little parts, especially, and I'm not talking about guns or blasters. I'm talking about parts, especially these play sets for G.I. Joe. Like the one I did, the Checkpoint Alpha, it's got a clipboard with a little sticker with writing on it, like an actual Chekhov clipboard that you put in the Joe's hand. And looking at that, I'm just like, this toy line was so incredible that they had such detail to have something like that. So I don't think I noticed that stuff as a kid. If I'd have lost the clipboard as a kid, I wouldn't have cared. As long as going back now, it's really, really awesome to see all those little details. And most 80s toy lines had these little details too.
I noticed the other day, because I had to film some Batmans for season two, that I have far more blue Batman suited characters than black costumed caped Crusaders, which was really surprising to me. I didn't think that I'd have more blue based Batmans at all.
Yeah. I mean, that colored Batman was the Batman that was the norm. I mean, Adam West, of course, Bob Kane's was that color, and certainly the Kenner Superpowers was, and then the black Batman came out, Michael Keaton's, and everyone was kind of like, I don't know about this. And then it took the world by storm. And then that was the norm. And then I remember like loving that one so much. Then looking back at the Bob Kane one, I'm like, ew, what a wimp. <'Cause> the new guy's dark and mysterious and all in black. And yeah. But now I'm back to the gray and blue.
I was really shocked. I ended up discovering, thanks to a lot that I purchased about 7 months ago, that I have 35 Batmans.
Wow.
A lot of them are those weird variants we all love from the animated series and some of that 90s stuff.
Nobody likes that for you, but
well, I had to do it for what people are talking about in the commentaries, right? That we're doing for season two.
Yeah. So
that's why I got a lot of a bunch of them. It was like 17 in that lot.
Arctic Patrol Batman, the underwater Robin,
deep sea diver, yeah, Power Blade.
Like, Batman, even as stuff. Kids, we knew that was dumb. You know, Batman didn't need that.
Well, stuff, you know, there's some interesting commentary about that in the series, my friend, and I can't wait for your thoughts on when people talk about how many variations.
That's that's them trying to make Batman more than it was. You know, you're competing against Star Wars or G.I. Joe or Turtles. You can't with Batman and Robin. You just can't, right? So you can in G.I. Joe, you have the Arctic Trooper, the Space Trooper, the Flame Trooper. You can't do that with Batman, right? So I can't blame them for trying, but I just think it was yuck.
One of the other topics that we cover in season two, and I think it's episode three, are people talking about what they consider the perfect action figure to be. And they try to kind of break down the criteria that would make up the perfect action figure. You know, pain apps, articulation, sculpt, likeness. They go on and talk about different things and have a lot of great commentary. And then I ask them specifically, what is the perfect action figure? You know, do you have one? And another big toy surprise for me, somebody said an MP10 Optimus Prime. Walter Mueller, who we interview, has an amazing Transformers collection. He's a huge fan of Hound. He has like every iteration of Hound. We talk about the rule of two as collecting. Well, you know, Transformers fans have to be the rule of three because of the And if it's like a triple changer or whatever, then you're getting
a lot. Rough. That's expensive.
But he helped me secure an MP10 Optimus Prime masterpiece. And I gotta say, this is probably the best Transformer I've ever had in my hands and possession.
Yeah.
Ever. I don't know if you've ever seen the MP10 Optimus Prime. So for everybody out there, here he is. There's a cartoon accurate like cell shading to him. He transforms not without there's not too much difficulty for him to transform. What I really like about it, Jay, is all the details that you and I love when it comes to this stuff. So he has the Matrix, but he also has Spike, of course, and Spike can sit in the driver's seat.
Yep.
And the convoy, the trailer opens and there's vehicles in there for Spike to ride in. It's just a magnificent Transformer and I cannot believe how great it is. And because I've never really collected Transformers, I feel like kind of like an idiot. I still love, you know, Robots in Disguise stuff. That's cool. But that is such a great figure. And we'll probably
be
auctioning that off at some point too.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, masterpiece. I mean, you get what you pay for. It's quite a bit more. But yeah, I mean, there's no comparison, right? Like they're fantastic figures. Yeah, I don't have any. Our good buddy Glenn has a bunch. That's where I got to see all those. They're really show stopping, man. They're the top tier for Transformers. That's why I don't like, you know, Hasbro is bringing out the second wave of 86 movie figures. Here still hasn't come out. Some have, some haven't. No, or maybe the third, I don't know, whatever. The Dinobot coming out with Daniel, and they've grayed out Daniel's in the exosuit, but they've grayed out the helmet so you can't see Daniel. Like,
pretty lame.
These are decisions that I don't understand why they do it, why they don't just, you know, make the dome clear and you can see little Daniel's head. I don't understand why they grade us. It's just so dumb. And you see something like that with a fully articulated Spike, and it's like, well, that's what I want. I want Spike, Spark Plug, Chip, Daniel, because they're just as much a part of the show as the Transformers were.
Yeah. And again, scale.
Perfect scale. Yep.
It's awesome. it's time for Action Figure Spotlight. You got a few toy surprises for us in that regard? You got something to show off?
Yeah, I have something to show off. I have a little bit of a story. I alluded to it at the beginning. So in Canada, we still have Toys R Us, which I don't know if that's a good thing now after this story. And anyone who's in chat, please, I want to hear your thoughts on this too. I got a tip off from my friend John, G.I. Joe John. He's a good buddy of ours. And he's like, you're still looking for the Savage He-Man Orko. Well, they have the two-pack at Toys R Us. They also have the Henry Rollins Triclops. Sweet, man. So I get up and go there the next day. And there's a really bizarre, like, every shelf is filled with toys. And I know that sounds funny because we complain about how empty it is. But everything was really quiet. Everything was really full. I'm like, okay, so I pick up the Orko and the Savage He-Man, $46.99 Canadian. Great, yep, Scott just hit it there. That's fine. I'm getting two figures. I go to the Black Series just to check, right?
You shouldn't have done that.
Well, if you know what I'm going to say, then this is crazy. So the current wave in Canada being Chirrut Imwe from Rogue One, I was looking at, you know, Donnie Yen's character. Picked it up, $42.99. Everyone in chat, did you hear what I said? $42.99.
No, that's Canadian. That's about $34 US for, you know, most of our audience.
I was like,
understand
what?
But we also pay 15% tax on that.
Yep. So that's $50 for one figure.
Yeah.
So I looked
a Black Series figure,
Star Wars Black Series, Marvel Legends. $42.99. So I, you know, and it didn't really make any sense because the He-Man stuff was regular price. So I'm like, is this Hasbro or is this Toys R Us doing this? So anyone in chat, help me out here because I don't really have an answer to this, but the climax is coming up because the other day, this was yesterday actually, another collector buddy of mine, Kevin, messaged me. He's like, oh my God, dude, let me call you. I'm like, okay. He's like, dude, I'm in Toys R Us in Kitchener, which is about an hour from where we live. And he's like, they have Cobb Vanth from The Mandalorian. I'm like, get the, buy
yeah,
it.
The deluxe one. Yeah.
He is extremely rare and he's worth a lot of money. And I'm like, yes, please buy it for me. I'll transfer you the money. So I go and meet him. I owed him $70. And I'm like, dude, what do you mean $70? And he's actually, you know, sent me a screen cap of the Shelf Talker Star Wars Black Series Cobb Vanth, $59.99.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the greatest characters in The Mandalorian, the Boba Fett we should have got. But that's for another day. Why is this? First of all, why is this a deluxe? Could they not put the backpack and helmet on him and shrunk the package a bit? Yes, they could have. But that doesn't even excuse it because there was a Boba Fett Return of the Jedi one that came out last year that was $44.99 where they had the accessories spread out like this and you got a few of the Hasbro little explosions, you know, for taking photos and stuff like that. Why is this $59? This is not from eBay. This is from a retail shelf, $59.99. And boom, I bought it. Yeah, I agree, Red. It's a great figure. I like, this is the one I wanted, right? Out of all the new stuff. But I paid $70 for this. Okay, so I want to hear everyone's comments. And Rob, I want to hear your thoughts. By the way, this figure just is amazing. But
yeah. He's available for pre-order on Big Bad Toy Store for $35 US right now, which is $45 Canadian. You'll have to pay for shipping and stuff, but if you get a bunch of stuff in with
$45 Canadian, then it's Toys R Us then, because that's $15 more Canadian.
They're probably getting hit with duty to get some of this stuff in. It's hard to say, but it was available for pre-order on Big Bad Toy Store. I had one on pre-order. I don't know if I still do. I mean, you know that works. Upstate Johnny says, Hasbro said they were raising prices last fall due to surge in orders of their toys during pandemic and increase for raw materials they use. And of course, shipping and freight has been going up since the pandemic began. And they've held off on raising prices for, I think, a year and a half. And they knew that a $5 add-on was going to be happening US. So that's about $758 Canadian getting thrown on everything. That seems like a little bit much to go from, you know, $35, $40 Canadian to $60, like a 30% increase. That's just crazy. Look at 1/6 shooters. Because I think we're, you know, approaching a point of convergence between Hasbro and their plastic figures and Mezco and or third party high end soft good figures price wise. I showed that Freddy right? For $89, or it was $80 US. You get way better figure for what we're getting from Hasbro.
Three Mezco myself. I have two Daredevils and Punisher from the Netflix, and they kill anything that Hasbro does. They're incredible. They are $100 or more, but they are incredible. So now you're getting into $70 territory, and I'm not a big cloth goods guy, but my Daredevil, my Punisher, they all have form-fitting cloth clothing, as does your Freddy, and they're just incredible. The sculpt is great. They're like little models, but they're figures at the same time. It's really this weird hybrid. It's fantastic. I don't know what to do at this point. It's like, when you told me that, and it was one of those, like, there was one left, right? It's like, do you want it or not, man? I'm like, yes, of course I want it. I wasn't thinking. But I got to say, I love the figure so much. Would I have paid that anyway? Probably. And that is the problem, because I felt completely sick after I e-transferred him the money. I was like, what did I just do? That's a video game. That's the price of a game.
As soon as you said over $70, I thought, well, that's a video game. You know, so is that figure on your shelf worth the, you know, 10 to 20 hours of entertainment that you're going to have playing a game? Maybe. Who knows? But I think it's the erasure of the middle class of action figures. We're losing that gap between the $30 and the $60 figure, and it's jumping up to either above $60 figures, and we're getting Black Series now at that price, or, like 1/6 Shooter says, we can pay an extra $25 to $30 and get a Mezco or a Mafex or, you know, something else that's like a Mondo, like a 12-inch, you know, 6-scale figure for not that much more, and know that we're getting something truly special versus just getting priced out. Or we go to the $20 level, like the Robots in Disguise stuff, $20, $25, depending on where you are, for something like this, and be happy that it's on the shelf. My action figure spotlight this week, you know, talks about the same thing, and that's the McFarlane stuff, the DC figures that are 25 Canadian. And how can you, I mean, we talked about how they have issues standing up, of course, but, you know, this figure for $25 with all the accessories that you're getting in it and the different sculpts and the variety of figures is pretty great. If I want a better, more articulated Batgirl in this case, or superhero, I have options near the $100 level that will completely justify that $75, $60 price point difference. But I feel like we're kind of drifting in that sea of, is it worth it when we're basically being forced out by Hasbro? Now, the deluxe version of Batgirl and other deluxe figures in the McFarlane line is something like this Batgirl, which comes with a piece of Batmobile to build, kind of collect and connect. I don't understand why we have to get a Batmobile here that is not in scale with any of these figures and have to pay $5 more for a figure like this. I think this figure is probably cooler than this one. I like that they're very different in terms of who they are as figures and what the sculpt looks like. I don't like the extra $5 for a Batmobile. I'll never be able to.
Well, it's the superhero standard Hasbro has put in, right? You're used to the Build-A-Figure. So
I don't mind Build-A-Figure. I just want it to be in scale with the line, whether it's a character or a vehicle. They're doing something
different, right? I agree. Build a vehicle that you're not going to be able to do anything with. So,
like the Ghostbusters one, right? Like that Batmobile from McFarlane, it doesn't work.
Hold yours up. Hold your spotlight. Okay.
Which one? Now this isn't the deluxe one or the other one. Now we'll go the deluxe.
The first one, the regular $24.99 one. Now, this isn't a who's a better character. This is not what this is about. This is about, take a look at these two figures, everyone out there. You have Rob's $24.99, like amazing Batgirl. It's just an incredible figure by McFarlane. And then you have this pretty good Cobb Vanth figure. I mean, I think he's great looking. For $70.
You can almost get three of these for the price of that.
Not only that, everyone in chat after this stream, go on eBay, search Cobb Vanth. There's not one that's under $150 right now. It is crazy. Now, this is what is pushing me more towards finishing up some vintage lines. It's like, if I'm shelling out this much for characters, I might as well just be buying vintage. Because I'm of the opinion that most of the vintage stuff is better anyway. It's just expensive. But now we're crossing that line. It's like, it's getting very expensive to be a toy collector.
Now, just so everybody knows, right now in Big Bad Toy Store, you can get Cobb Vanth for $35. They're expecting it to be in stock in July. So you're going to have to wait, but you're going to pay a lot less if you want it.
And you know what? I gotta say that we've been celebrating Toys R Us being in Canada because unfortunately they all closed in the U.S. and around the world. I'm not celebrating anymore. And I got to tell you guys, everyone out there, Toys R Us is not going to be around long if they keep it up, which from everyone in chat, it sounds like it's Toys R Us prices.
Well, I'm curious about that figure. I mean, it's not a big difference on Big Bad. Obviously, that seems to be in line with the deluxe Jar Jars plus the $5 price hike that we knew was coming. Because I believe the deluxe Jar Jar was $30. So this is $35. So that feels like it's in line with Hasbro's messaging.
Yep.
Is there like a celebrity tax on this, given that it's Timothy Oliphant? Like, is he asking more for his license? I can't see that happening.
No actor in Star Wars history has that's ever what I had mean. That leverage. That will never happen.
That's exactly right? What I mean.
Maybe our retailers starting to do the eBay thing. Are they looking at someone like Cobb Vanth, which they know everyone wants? Same as, you know, when Mayfield hits the shelves, everyone wants Mayfield, who is a Bill Burr's character. Are they like, well, let's jack the price up and see what happens? Maybe they won't even notice.
Yeah.
Because that figure should be 44. And even at that, that's ridiculous because they just spread the accessories out. Come on.
Yeah, man. I agree. Some figures don't need the deluxe treatment. Even if it is a grab for, you know, an extra $5, some of those figures are worth it because they are so articulated and cool in the details there, but not twice as much. Twice as much. Ridiculous. We've come to the top of the hour already, my friend. Please remind people, everybody that's listening in the audio format and, of course, watching now or catching it later, where can they find more of your toy shenanigans and great content that you make?
YouTube. YouTube is the place to be. I'm going to extend the invite to yourself as well, Mr. McCallum, Friday night, where Michael Mercy and I will be hosting another double stream, which we're going to go in depth on prices like this and Toys R Us and what exactly is going on. No doubt you'll be there in chat, but you are welcome. So guys, check out my YouTube channel, and thanks for everyone for the kind comments on the homemade G.I. Joe stories that I've been making. They've been a lot of fun, and I've been having a lot of fun interacting with you guys and the Choose Your Own Adventure style. So if you guys like it, I'm going to make more of them because it definitely brought me back to a simpler time when it was, you know, you're just sitting there playing with your toys.
You can follow me, of course, on Twitter at Rob McZob or Rob McMeldo, if you can find that handle as well. We don't talk about Meldo anymore.
There was an incident.
But I have to decline your invitation, my friend, because last week I had an out-of-nowhere interview that I did with Blake Wright, who's heading up Toy Collector Magazine. And so we chatted for a good 40 minutes about that new collecting mag that's coming out with 6 issues in the first year. And I got hit up right away from Brian, who is the author, of course, of Knockoffs, and he wants to chat this Friday. We're going to go live at 8:30, I think. So it's going to be Jay versus Rob live stream. If you want to hear more about what Brian's got going on with Plastallions and Knockoffs and Rack Toys, plus everything else, you can check it out. I think we'll only be on for a half hour or so, so you can probably, you know, dip into us and then jump over to Jay or back and forth or have us both dueling on your screen.
Yeah, you can open up, you know, with these computers nowadays, you can open up 2 windows at the same time. It's crazy. So
2 windows, it just cost you $75 to do. I appreciate all of you listening to our shenanigans, chiming in the chat, which is such a delight. This past week has flown by. This is clearly the night I look forward to every week at this point, and it's truly a lot of fun. So thanks for watching, guys. Jay, we always try to end these episodes with the same shenanigans, the same catchphrase that never stays the same. For the love of toys and the warmth of scarves, take care of each other.
And take care of your friggin' wallets. Beware of Toys R Us. They're the devil. The devil.
NJ, what time of day is the best time? Payday?
Paytime. When Toys R Us closes at 9 p.m.
You say that now, but when you have the grave of Jeffrey in your dreams, you'll be the one to blame for all collectors.
Best time is take care of yourself and each other.
Playtime! Have a happy playtime next week, guys. We will see you same time, same bat channel. The Blue Batman channel. 8:30 next week. Cheers.